continue with our reading for my reflection today, it comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Here ends that reading. So if I had a title for my message today, it would probably be called Prayer Part 2, because it's kind of continuing on where I left off last week, since I was doing 2 weeks together. So I'll just give you a little bit of recap from last week, for those of you who weren't here, or just to refresh our memories. I said, there are times when we sense that God is right beside us, and there will be times when we feel that God is very far away from us. And even though we may feel that way, God's truth tells us that he is always with us and never will he forsake us. We serve a holy God that we may and we may think that we can only come to him when we are feeling reverent and holy ourselves. But he already knows the struggles that we are facing. He already knows the sins that we're trapped in. He wants us to come to him just as we are, to bring our sins, our struggles, and our shame, so that he might bring healing and wholeness to our sin-sick souls. And we may have believed the lie that we need to strive for perfection in order to have God love us and in order to serve our all-knowing and perfect God. And we might believe that somehow we could get more approval if we are better, if we do more, if we are good. But that is not true. God loves us just as we are. He wants us to come to him and have a relationship with him and allow him to clean us up and make us holy. Any good that we do should be because of the love of Christ in us, not in order to receive his love. God's word is truth. And that is where we find who God is and understand his will. His word tells us that if we ask according to his will, he hears us and has already granted that request according to his will. So those are the things I talked about last week, and today I'll continue on the subject of prayer. Next to God's redemptive plan for salvation for mankind, I'd say the most written about thing in the Bible is prayer. That is the relationship between man and God. Every single person on the face of the earth has this deep inner longing for something more, whether we want to acknowledge that or not. And if you are like me, who I'm guessing that most are, that longing to be nearer to God has increased over time. It hasn't actually dissipated. So I will continue on with a few nuggets that I have gleaned from God's word. The readings today were chosen specifically for the underlying messages in those words. In the first reading from 1 Peter 4, we are told, therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. At face value, that seems like it should be quite easy to accomplish. But how easy is it for us to come to God only to be distracted by some issue we might be having with another person? Instead of asking God how to handle the situation, we might be reliving in our minds the perceived wrong that has been committed against us, or how we would like to respond to that perceived wrong. Or maybe even worse, we're plotting in our mind how we might retaliate or even seek revenge. All of a sudden, we are far from being clear-minded, and there's no self-control within us at all. And then we say to ourselves, I'm having trouble praying. I don't know if God hears me. I can't seem to concentrate. What was the reason we were told to be clear-minded and self-controlled? So that we can pray. Maybe if I took some of those concerns to the Lord and allowed Him to change that person. Or maybe if I allowed Him to change my heart and my heart's attitude, then my prayers would not be hindered. That leads me into the next reading from John, the vine and the branches. This passage is such a beautiful illustration of the kind of relationship that God wants to have with each and every one of us. We are told over and over again to abide in Jesus and His love. He doesn't just want us calling on Him when we have a need, but instead, He wants to have this deep, meaningful relationship where we can share all that is going on in our lives and He can provide guidance and love to us. And it is in receiving that love and guidance that we are able to provide the same to those around us. And for what purpose, we might ask? Verse 11 says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Yes, when we are abiding in the Lord, our joy should be complete. When we are in the presence of God, we can just sit back and bask in His love. Because He loves us, for He wants us to come to Him and just receive that love. He wants to give us that love. If you look up the definition to abide, some words in the meaning are remain, dwell, endure, stand firm, and remain faithful to. And the meaning of abiding is permanent or lasting. So if we keep those words in mind as we read this passage, we see that we are not only told to hold these attributes towards the Lord, but He holds those attributes towards us. And in abiding in the Lord, we bear fruit that will abide or last. Once again, we are told at the end of verse 16, so that whatever you ask in my Father's name, that is Jesus' name, whatever you ask the Father in my name, that is in Jesus' name, He may give it to you. It is only through a deep, abiding relationship with Jesus that we are actually able to live like we are called to in the reading from Philippians. It is only through producing the fruit of the Spirit that we become who it is that Christ wants us to be. Galatians 5 tells us that the fruit we are to be producing is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. It is only in keeping step with the Spirit of God or abiding in Him that we can produce this kind of fruit. Fruit that will abide. Fruit that is permanent and lasting. Well, as I was writing my message, I was reminded of Rita's children's message from last week. She had this cute little ball with a smiley face on it. It's bright and yellow. And I just felt that that message could easily have been repeated again today. It has the same message for us. This ball is round. It has no start, no beginning, no end. And it is an object lesson for our abiding with the Lord. If we abide with the Lord, it is He who produces lasting fruit in us, which sustains us and nourishes us and gives us all that we need to love those around us, which produces joy, which in turn stirs our heart to want to abide in the Lord, which produces fruit that goes round and round and round. The only thing that stops us from abiding in that love is us. Our unwillingness to abide, which in turn doesn't produce fruit, which leaves us feeling empty and longing for that which is missing. We do not need to wonder why Jesus said what he did in the Garden of Gethsemane from Matthew 26. Watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. There is power in prayer and praising God. He desires to develop that power and show his power in our lives around us. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas are in prison. I'm not sure if you recall the story. They're in prison. It's the middle of the night. They are singing praises to God and praying. Suddenly, there is a great earthquake, and the foundation of the prison is shaken. But it doesn't say that the prison crumbles around them. No, instead it says, the doors flew open, and their chains fell off. Interesting. I'm thinking if we had an earthquake here today, there would be more than just doors flying open, or if we were in chains, the chains falling off. This is only by the power of God, manifested through prayer and praising him, that these things happen. Now that brings me to this paper that you received when you came in with your bulletin. Woo. So the week after Pastor John Mark left on his sabbatical, we had a prayer summit here with Charles and Anita Jackson from World Mission Prayer League. And those who were there in attendance were blessed by their encouraging words. The paper that you have in front of you was given to us with a very simple exercise to do. That is, pray or speak to God in words or pictures as the Holy Spirit prompts you. Well, as much as I'd love to do that exercise here with you today, we don't have the time to do that. But it was such a powerful and meaningful exercise for me that I didn't want the rest of you to miss out on the wonderful blessing that I received by doing this exercise. It was just, we were told to just try a different way of focusing on God and reaching out to him in a meaningful and powerful way. So I would encourage you sometime this week to take this little paper that you were given. Set your timer for 20 minutes. You may need more time than that. You might finish up in less than that. But use that time to purposely seek the Lord. And I would encourage you to write on that paper. Read what each of the scriptures says and write down what this means to you. What would you like to say to God? Or what is God speaking to you through that passage of scripture? Keep in mind, there is no right way or wrong way to do this. In fact, we were given instructions, and when I went and I did what I did, I felt very close to God in that time because I wrote down what I thought God was speaking to me about conviction. And when I came back, I didn't actually do what I was asked to do. And yet, God meets us right where we're at. And so I would just encourage you to take the time to do that. Don't just throw this paper aside because you feel, oh, this maybe isn't something I've ever done before. Just try it. Just take the time to spend time with God and write down what it is that you feel that you need to say to him because of the scriptures you've read, or what it is that he's saying to you. And maybe you'll find it very helpful, and you may want to do it again in the future. So what I'd like to do is just go through this and just share a couple of things from each page. We were given little tips along the way, And some of these thoughts may have been other people's words. I can't remember if these were mine or Charles and Anita's or just what. So if you, those of you who were there, if this is your words, I'm sorry I've taken it and I'm sharing it, but there's nothing personal in it, okay? So the first page, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. We were encouraged to praise him, that is, praise God, for who he is and for his character. The second page, let your requests be made known to God. Pour out your heart in your prayers and petitions to the Lord. The third page, with thanksgiving, remember what he has done for you. He cares about the way you feel. Share that with him. The next page, about thinking about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right. We were asked the question, what am I putting into my brain that is not wholesome? Is it the things I watch? Is it the things I'm saying? Are there wholesome things, unwholesome things coming out of my mouth because of what I'm putting into my brain? This can be used as a time of confession. The next page. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And one of the things that was written down, and I really don't remember if it was me or somebody else, but Pastor Jean's name came up. Who around you models Christ within them? What encouragement have you received from them? I'm just going to read to you what my thoughts were when I came to that passage. I wrote, I need to be with you to be refreshed and renewed. As the rain is washing the dirt off the rooftop, that is all I need, just for you to wash away my sins. Nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What's really interesting, don't ask me why, but as we left from our time upstairs here, I was upstairs here, as I walked past the door, I opened the door because I could hear the rain falling. There was no rain. The sun was shining. I don't know why I heard rain. Maybe that's what God wanted me to hear, was that rain, that deep inner longing in me to be washed clean. So what will happen when you sit down and do this? I don't know. God may be saying something that you and only you need to hear. I truly believe that day was what I needed to hear from God. He spoke deeply to my heart in the sound of rain. It sounds rather strange, but I know. I heard it. But it was not there when I stepped out the door. Going on to the last page. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Charles said, when we are transformed, the world will know. We will produce fruit, fruit of the Spirit. And with that, I would encourage you that we need to pray for one another. Pray for those that serve us. Pray for Pastor John Mark as he serves us week in and week out. I know that people have been praying for Roxana, Lynn, myself, as we have led in this time of being without a pastor in our midst. It is important for us to lift one another up. We may or may not know what is going on in each other's lives. But if we do know someone is in a struggle, the most important thing we can do for them is to pray for them. That more or less concludes my message on prayer. But there's just one thing I'd like to share with you. As I started my talk last week, I talked about God being silent and having gone through a time of not hearing from God, not really sure if he was listening to me, trusting that he was, but, you know, just really struggling with that. And quite interestingly enough, in the midst of this, we sat down one night and we watched the story, or the movie, God's Not Dead 2. And I'm not sure if any of you have seen that movie, but in the midst of this movie, this young teacher is being prosecuted and persecuted for her faith in Christ. And she's now in court, and it's looking like she is going to lose her case. And she goes home and she speaks to her father that night and she says, I don't understand why God is not speaking. Why is he not talking to me? Why is he not leading me? And her father so calmly says to her, you as a teacher should know this. While the test is being taken, the teacher is silent. So if you are facing a time in which you feel God is silent or you're struggling in your prayer life, maybe God is testing you. Maybe he's preparing you for something more in your life. Seek him. Don't run away from him. Press into him and be blessed. Amen.